I want to talk to you about the purpose and the power of testimony. Today we heard the testimony of young people. And it's so important to give voice to whatever God is doing. It really is. You have the ability to testify of God's goodness. So let's go before the Father as we head into the Word. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Father God, for your presence, that you've already shown yourself in this space, in this place, in this worship service. And Father, I thank you for ministering great grace as we open the Word of God, that you would help us to apply the truths to our lives so that we can be that much more effective for the kingdom of God. But Father, that as we open up our mouth, as we speak of your goodness, I thank you, Father God, your presence, your power kicks in. And Father, you are able to do amazing things as we just open our mouths and speak of the goodness of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word testimony in the English language, it basically means a solemn declaration. Usually, this is from Webster's, made orally by a witness under oath in response to interrogation by a lawyer or authorized public official. Okay? But it is also firsthand authentication of a fact. It is evidence. It is an outward sign. It's an open acknowledgement. It's a public profession of a religious experience. Now that's from Webster's. And Revelation 19:10, go ahead and turn there if you would. It is not often that we go to the book of Revelation, but we don't need to be afraid of it. God gave it to us for a reason. And so Revelation 19:10 gives us an amazing verse that I'd like us to take a look at. And it says this, "And I fell at his feet to worship him." This is speaking of John. This is an angel. This is John attempting to worship an angel. Now listen to what happened. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, who have," now listen to this, "the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now this is a powerful picture. The Apostle John has gotten consumed in the presence of God. And he sees an angel, and he tries to worship the angel, and the angel stops him and says, "Ah, not me." Because testimony points to Jesus. Testimony, as a believer, always points to Jesus, just as prophecy. When you hear somebody prophesy, it should always point you to Jesus. If somebody comes and prophesies to you stuff that doesn't point you to Jesus, throw it out. If somebody says, "I have a word from God for you," and it does not point you to Jesus, do not pay attention to it. You check it with the Word of God, and you check it. Does it point me to Jesus? Does it redirect my focus and my attention on Jesus? And so, when I look at this verse, I get excited because it says that the testimony of Jesus, speaking about Jesus, is it's prophecy. It's inspired utterance. What does the word inspired mean? Well, the word inspired means God breathed. Now, I've said this for years when it comes to when somebody you know, says, well, Pastor, you know, everybody just wants to debate with me, and they want to debate whether Jesus really is the way, whether he's not the way. I got Mormons that I go to, you know, work with, or I got, you know, Jehovah Witnesses that I work with, or I got, you know, Jewish people that I work with, and, you know, everybody just wants to debate me, or an agnostic or an atheist. How many have ever encountered people that just don't see what you see? Here's a key. Do not argue with them. But I'll tell you what does work. You ready? It's your testimony. You know why? Because you can never argue with a changed life. How do you argue and tell me, no, you weren't bad and now you're good? How do you argue with, I was once lost and now I'm fine? How do you argue with that? How do you argue with, well, I used to be an addict, I used to do this, I used to do all that? How do you argue with that, right, young people? Young people, we don't need you in the sound booth. You guys can come on out. I want to see your bright and shining faces, and I can't actually see you, so. Yeah, I think we're good now. Thank you so much for your help. You guys really helped this morning, too. Give them another hand.
Hey.
All right, our young people. I believe that God has almost like part two, if you will, of youth camp in this message. And it's not going to be a long message, so I want you just to pay attention. Your testimony is so important. It was important to the Apostle Paul so much that it influenced everything that he did and said. Now, many of us in here know the basic story of Paul, right? Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was, most scholars would agree that he was a murderer, a religious murderer, a jihadist, if you will. He felt like he was doing God a favor by putting Christians in jail, punishing them, and even witnessing to their death. Most scholars believe that the Apostle Paul was there when Stephen was stoned and was actually holding the cloaks of those that were picking up rocks and killing the first martyr. So the Apostle Paul was zealous in his religion, but he did not know Jesus, right? And one of the really cool things is we have his testimony repeated several times, but go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 26 now. Acts 26. This is not a long thing, so don't get all nervous on me. Acts 26. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There is power in your testimony. What Jesus did for you at youth camp, young people, or adults, what he did for you has great power if you will give voice to it. In the 1980s, when there was a revival that blew through here, and some of you have touched it, some of you were there, some of you went to those meetings. The Full Gospel Businessmen Association International would have meetings of businessmen. They would get saved. Their marriages would get put back together. They would go from being alcoholics to not being alcoholics, to giving testimony to Jesus, to being delivered from great and mighty things. I'm talking, they would fill hotel ballrooms.
Right.
I would imagine that even this hotel just down the street, the Holiday Inn, used to host them.
It did.
And when they were, probably they would fill ballrooms and the presence of God would come in and there would be people from all different denominations. They'd come from the Methodists and the Baptists and the Lutheran and the Episcopals and you name them, they would come. And they would get a touch of Jesus. And one of the most powerful things about those meetings, church, was the testimonies of those men who would get up. They were not preachers. They were not polished preachers. Do you hear me? They would get up. They were businessmen. Some of them were a little rough around the edges. And they would give their testimony, and people would be weeping. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You can't argue with a changed life. I was once lost, now I'm found. You're there in Acts 26. Acts 26. And the Apostle Paul, he gives his testimony to the officials, the authorities that had him arrested. Verse 1 says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You are permitted to speak for yourself.' So stretched out his hand and answered for himself." The Apostle Paul stretched out his hand. Right? He had permission and he took the floor. People are going to give you permission to tell your story. Young people, when you go back to school, when you go back to school in just a few weeks, people are going to ask, "Well, what'd you do this summer?" You have an open door. You have an open door. You know, Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak." What will happen to you is God will open up a door for you to say what he did. And your friends could sit there and they could maybe try to argue, but you know what? They're not going to. Because you can't argue with a changed life. When I was 15 and made that choice for God, and when I came back to school, my friends were like, "What happened to you?" I'm like, "I got saved." They're like, "Yeah, right. We'll see." Over time, they watched me, and some of them actually joined me. Started coming to Bible study, started coming to church, started going back to their church. One of them actually at one point ran down an altar call aisle and he said, "I've watched you for a year and I saw your life change and I want what you have." You cannot argue with a changed life. So open your mouth. Adults, open your mouth. If God is going to bring a revival to this nation, it is going to be because people talk about Jesus, not because they talk about social injustice or politics. That is not going to bring a revival. And it doesn't matter which party you're a part of. What is going to bring a revival is God's people opening their mouth. He is waiting on us to open our mouth and talk about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. "Hey, listen, this is what happened to me. Jesus met me. I had an experience with God like none other." Look at what happens. He says, "I think myself happy," verse 2, "King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things which I am accused of." He's being accused. This guy's on trial. And he goes, "I think myself happy that I get to talk about this." You know, when your friends give you an open door to talk about Jesus, you need to say, "I think myself happy. I think myself happy that I get to answer. I get to tell them the reason why I have a smile on my face. Why I have a hope. Why I have a spring in my step. Why can I say God is so good?" Oh, "I think myself happy." And he says, "especially because you're an expert in all customs and questions have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." Man, he was good. He knew who he was talking to. Know your audience. Know your audience. He was good. He was good. And then he says this. He says, "My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation in Jerusalem, all the Jews know." In other words, what was I like before Christ? Now, he's talking about his religious experience. And he's really saying, "I was really a good Jew." That's what he's saying. But you know what? Your testimony might be, "I was really a mess." It's okay. He goes back and tells them what he was before he encountered God. And then he tells them what happens after. And he says, he goes on and on about what he was. And he says in verse 6, "And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers." In other words, I actually met Jesus, whom our entire religion pointed to. I met him. And then he goes on to say, that he says, verse 10, "This I also did in Jerusalem and many of the saints. I shut them up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." This guy, he was committed in the other direction. Am I right? And he's telling them how he was. And he says, "And I punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, to renounce their faith." I compelled them. I tried to argue with them to renounce their faith. "Being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." He tracked them down. That was his mission. He was passionate about being against the things of God. "While occupied, I also journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests." Verse 13, this is where the encounter happens. He's opening his mouth. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God's spirit is all over this. And he goes on to say, he said, "At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light." First thing he says is, "I saw a light. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.'" Verse 16, "But arise, stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister, a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Verse 19. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." This is his experience. This is his experience to the point that as he shares this, one of the authorities says, "I think your learning has made you mad, made you crazy. Are you trying to convince me to be a Christian?" See, there's a tug, there is a pull. When you open your mouth for a testimony, there is a struggle, there is a warfare going on for that person. The person that you're sharing your testimony with, if they're not a believer and you're sharing how Jesus changed you, there is a war for them. And it can't be won intellectually. Quit trying to go the intellectual route. All right? Your words are anointed to say what Jesus did for me. What Jesus did for me is he changed my life in a moment, in an instant. He changed my life. When I walked down that aisle at Lighthouse Baptist Church in July of 1980, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes on Jesus. In that moment, in that instance, my life changed. My life changed. My family noticed it. My teachers noticed it. My friends noticed it. My life changed. And I would point back to that moment. As you have had experiences, young people at camp, point back to those moments. Tell your friends. Open your mouth. There is an anointing to open your mouth. And when you open your mouth, the presence of God comes on those words, because the Spirit of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. You are prophesying. That means an inspired utterance from God Almighty. God used the Apostle Paul's testimony all through the New Testament. Notice how the first thing he says is, I encountered the light. And at the end of his testimony, he said, so that I could turn people from darkness to light. All through the imagery of his writings in Colossians, he says, we have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He uses the imagery of darkness and light constantly throughout his writings. He ends up writing 3/4 of the New Testament. This testimony impacted his life to the point that everything he wrote went back to and has imagery and shadows of what that experience was for him. It was a life marker for him. Open your mouth, for the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, or to reverse it as I just did, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now turn with me very quickly to one last verse, and then we're going to close. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to see the power of your testimony. The power of your testimony to change lives. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. And then we're going to close with this. And it says this. And they overcame him, meaning the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb. This is verse 11. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. You want to overcome when the enemy starts badgering you? Open your mouth. Open your mouth. What has Jesus done for you? Well, Pastor, I don't know enough. You know, I'm just a new Christian, or I'm a baby Christian, or I've had so many struggles. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. If you get one thing from this sermon today, open your mouth, and God will back you up as you open your mouth. As a teenager, I heard God literally in still small voice. New Christian, I heard God say, if you will talk about me, I will back you up. I will back you up. And I saw that time and time again. I'd be at a bus stop, first day of school, not knowing who I'm getting on the bus with. And I end up talking about Jesus, carrying a Bible that could choke a mule. I marked myself. You know why? Because I wasn't going to turn back. I'm in. Go ahead, mark me. So I didn't have a Christian t-shirt when I was in high school. You hear me? If I did, I would have worn it. I want to be marked. Mark me. I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to speak, and God's going to back me up at every turn. I saw it time and time again, when I was threatened, when I had bad days, when I had good days, when things were going great, when things weren't going great. I opened my mouth and Jesus backed me up. I saw God heal people on buses. I saw him minister to young people and they became Christians at lunch tables. I am telling you that your testimony, adults, you're not a teenager, but you open your mouth. And when you open your mouth, God backs you up. I know it's not socially acceptable. I don't think it was socially acceptable for the Apostle Paul to put it all on the line and say, I'm in. Mark me. Go ahead. Facebook's probably already marked me. Let him mark me. I will open my mouth and I will say the goodness of God and the wonders of what Jesus has done. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. and they overcame the enemy by the blood and the word of their testimony. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word, your living word, your living word. God, I thank you for boldness, for this congregation, not just a teenager going to school, but God, for this congregation, there would be boldness to talk about you, to talk about how you changed lives in this room, lives that are watching online. You've changed lives, and a changed life cannot be argued with. And Father, I pray that the holy boldness of Jesus would rise up big on the inside, and like the days of the charismatic renewal, when those businessmen would stand up and talk about how you restored their life. Father, I thank you. You're restoring lives. You're rekindling the salvation that you brought us. That day that we got saved, the joy of our salvation is being restored according to what the psalmist writes. Father, I pray that that day would become an alive day again, that we'd open our mouth and your inspired utterance would change others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're watching online or if you're here in this place and you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to recommit your life to Jesus, all you have to do is believe in your heart, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and confess him with your mouth. Open your mouth that Jesus becomes your Lord and receive that forgiveness. And the Bible says you'll be saved. I'm just going to go ahead and we're going to pray this simple prayer out loud. And if you're there at home, pray with us. Receive Jesus for the first time, or maybe make that your act of rededication. Father God,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart that Jesus
is the Son of God.
That
he died for my sins.
That
he was raised from the dead.
I receive
his forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And I call Jesus my Lord from this day forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time as being born again, I want to send you something. Message us on Facebook. If you're here in this auditorium right now, in this space, would you let us know so that we can help you in your walk with God, help you become a stronger Christian, help you to open your mouth, because your testimony could set others free. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse right now. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Hallelujah. God bless you. You are dismissed. We love you, and Jesus is Lord.